And this is our number
two. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
World news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Aaron, does anybody believe... You're a big baseball fan.
Yeah.
Is there anybody who believes that the umpires couldn't tell the difference between sweat and rosin?
Outrageous. The whole situation is ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. Of course the umpires know the difference.
Yeah.
And is it the pitcher or the organization that's saying it was just sweat and rosin?
Both of them are saying it.
See, that's just silly.
Yeah, I know. And did you see, maybe you saw the video, like the way MLB handled it, they put it inside of like a plastic bag that you could get at the grocery store. It did not seem like a legit investigation. And I don't think they even ever tested the substance, as far as I know.
Right, yeah. But it's just, when they make excuses like that, it just sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because not anybody's buying it. And I know they want to protect their guy, but their guy shouldn't have been violating the rules.
Yeah.
So, right. Just ridiculous silliness. Okay, thank you, sir. Yep. All right, yes, it is the fastest 15 here, and got a lot of stuff. I can't dilly-dally at all. So I played you little Jay Inslee. You know, he's declared a permanent emergency because of climate change. And, oh, that sounds scary to me. A permanent emergency. So I still want to know, why is it 61 degrees right now? And then I'm getting all these texts. All right, the fact that it was 115 degrees and now it's 61 is the definition of climate change. No, it's not. It's not. The definition of climate change is steadily increasing global temperatures. And what happens on a couple of days in the Puget Sound area, whether it's very hot or unseasonably cool, it has nothing to do with climate change. But since politicians think that it is the most effective lever to pry money out of our bank accounts to give to them, billions in our state, trillions in our nation. So, yeah, nobody's buying that either. There are some. There are some people who actually do buy Jay Inslee's climate message. And, you know, I mentioned he's declared this, you know, the summer of.
This is the summer of climate change.
Yeah. This is the summer of climate change. Climate change. Of climate change. How's my voice today, Sean?
Oh, okay. You know, it's a little raspy.
Yeah.
But not bad.
Did you know it's the summer of climate change?
I do now, yeah.
Okay. Well, no, Sean knew this ahead of everybody because Jay Inslee, when he had his press conference yesterday, he told us a lot of things.
When you smell smoke this summer, it's climate change. When you see our highways buckling because the road simply expands and buckles because of heat, it's climate change.
Mm-hmm. How about the drought?
When we have a normal snowpack in April, but then we have a drought across the state, as we do now, 3 months later, that's climate change.
Mm-hmm. What about those poor shellfish?
When fish and shellfish can't be harvested because they can't survive, they in a sense cook on the beach at low tide. They've existed for thousands of years and now are dying by the millions on our beaches. That's climate change.
So Sean DeTore heard Jay Inslee say all of that, and it brought a musical reference to his mind as well.
When you see our highways buckling because the road simply expands and buckles because of heat, it's climate change. When we have a normal snowpack in April, but then we have a drought across the state, that's climate change. When fish and shellfish can't be harvested because they can't survive, they in a sense cook on the beach at low tide, that's climate change. There are not enough air conditioners in the world to save us from climate change.
Oh, that was good. You sent that to me last night, Sean. That was good stuff.
Hey, like thanks, that. Man. You know, I got inspired, and sometimes my inspiration is fleeting, so I figured I'd get that out of the cobwebbed head.
Well, and let's face it, Jay Inslee does provide just a rich vein of material for us all the time, too. So, well done. That's climate change. Did my voice crack when I was singing the Aquarius song? Another listener sent me lyrics for The Age of Aquarius, coincidentally. Let me see if I can find that. I won't sing it, because even I recognized how annoying that was when I was trying to sing live a minute ago. Where's the listener's lyrics here? Oh, here we go. He said, if you refer to this on air, please just use my first name, Steve. Okay, Steve. And he said, hi, Dory. I saw the news about the state closing some spaces at Monroe Corrections following the reductions in prosecutions and incarcerations around here despite rising crime. I couldn't help rewriting an old song from Utopian Hippie Days to go with the summer theme song you already have. I can do lyrics. I cannot sing or produce. See, I can't sing either. We should have somebody. Nicole, can we get somebody to produce this for us?
Yes. Well, you just put the word out there. So if you can sing, let us know. Otherwise, I'll try to make some calls tonight.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, we'd have to post the lyrics, but let me see if I can. You know, I'll try to rap it here. When the law is up to Dan Satterberg, Dal Constantine and Jenny Durkin, then peace will guide King County. I sing like William Shatner, right? And love will clear the jails. This is the dawning of the age of the criminals. Age of the criminals. The criminals in Seattle. I don't know what's going on with my voice today. It's usually so pitch perfect. Let's move on. What's wrong with this? There's something wrong with me today. Oh, that's another thing. I'm taking a very rare vacation day tomorrow. So then the question is, should we do our Friday 2 o'clock hour stuff today, since I'm taking a quick 3-day weekend? Why don't you two think about that, Nicole?
Okay, we'll think about it.
Yeah, I don't want to give people the wrong impression, but
it's not everybody's Friday, so
I know. Going salmon fishing tomorrow. I need to get out in the fresh air, the salt air. I need to rejuvenate the soul that you get when you're out doing stuff like that. Okay, now I have not seen this audio, so you need to describe the audio. I've heard the audio. I have not seen the video. So this is a guy like at a state fair where they have those huge slides. Is that it?
No, he's actually it looks like a gym where they have those like big blow up type, you know, play gyms and whatever, where they
really that's
them.
All it is.
Yeah. It's indoors. It's a big slide. It's not a blow up slide, I don't think, but it really does. It's smaller than what you see at the fair, the giant fair slide. So it's definitely smaller than that. But to get to the top, they lift you up on a bungee and like you strap in, they lift you at the you don't even strap in. You just hang on with your hands. They lift you up. They drop you at the top and let you go down. But I don't know. It maybe looks like 30 feet.
He's a grown
not
man.
Not very tall.
Right? Mm-hmm. This is a grown man. And this is him right before he goes down this large slide. Good, he bought a three slide coupon.
I don't even know. Would you scream that if somebody was trying to kidnap you? I don't even know if I could scream like that.
Well, when I was tased, I made some scream type noise. No, I was like, don't. when I was on Taze. And then when I did the bungee jump, I kind of screamed in exultation because I was so scared and so nervous. But then as I completed the live bungee jump on the air, I did scream out then too. But that was with joy.
We can compare the Taze audio. It's at the top now.
The Taze audio is? Okay. So, yeah, I can't make too much fun of people who scream.
Yo, 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 yo.
Oh, man.
Whoa. Holy criminy.
Okay. That's not as bad.
That's not really a scream, no.
Plus, I was getting tased. I wasn't going to go down a child's slide for crying out loud. All right, next up in the Fastest 15, former Seahawk Cassius Marsh. He played for the New England Patriots a couple of years ago. And he is speaking out now about how harsh the culture is there. Now, understand, this harsh culture has produced the greatest championship run in the history of the NFL. But Cassius Marsh, he says that the Patriots treated players, well, let's hear what he has to say.
I played for the Patriots, you know, not my favorite time.
No.
The Patriot way is pretty, it's extremely impressive. Like, they work day in and day out. Like, their work ethic over there, what they, you know, instill is pretty legendary, you know. But they also treat players like crap, you know. You don't have a lunch period.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, so they're just like, just eat
you
on your
get,
own?
Yeah, like, you get there and you have to make time to eat in between meetings. And they're like 5 to 10 minute periods where I would literally go scoop food and put it in a cup and like just crush it real quick before I got to the next meeting.
You would literally have to scoop food into a cup and then take it to the next meeting after scarfing it down. I don't know what's more disgusting, the guy on the slide or an NFL player complaining about not getting lunchtime.
Whoa.
It's just like there's there's no fun. There's no.
Really?
Well, that's what I got in trouble for saying, that they don't have fun. There's no like. Because Patriots fans hate me, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. If you probably one of the most hated like former Patriots.
Really?
Up there, top five at least.
Top five most hated.
100%.
Because he complains about a culture that's produced the greatest championship run in the history of the league, and we didn't get lunchtime. I think
if we get lunch, it's on a commercial break.
It's
literally 5 minutes.
I can barely use the bathroom here.
Well, I know it. I know. Yeah. So, and yeah, we don't get any lunch break. I eat while I'm working to prepare the show. And I've never seen Nicole or Sean, and I know myself, just take off for a half hour in the morning for lunch. We had work to do. We got a show to put together. And that's what we get paid for. Is do a show that is interesting enough and entertaining enough and gives a perspective that people either love or love to hate. That's what we get paid for. We don't get lunch. And Cassius Marsh, these guys have paid millions of dollars, and he's complaining about not getting a lunch break. Disgusting. All right, next up in the Fastest 15, brand new study out. Shows, and it's something we've talked about an awful lot over the last year, the impact of the shutdown, the lockdown, the keeping people at home, keeping kids at home in our country. We're now starting to get some more stats, and we're being told from the U.S. government data, there were 93,000 overdose deaths in the United States in 2020. 92,000. That is a 29% increase over the year before and several years before. It had always been at right around 70,000 OD deaths. But in 2020, it spiked up from 70,000 a year to 93,000. So that's 23,000 overdose deaths that can be attributed to the COVID lockdown. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I'm not saying so we shouldn't have done mitigation. I was all for the masks and working from home and all of that stuff. All I'm saying is we need to acknowledge, especially when Jay Inslee says that he still isn't lifting his gubernatorial emergency powers, that the lockdown has a cost and has taken a toll, and 23,000 lives taken, not from COVID, but by COVID mitigation measures. And that's why we need to be very careful about how much power we continue to give our politicians. Okay, next up in the family, Fastest 15, and I said family because Gayle King, who's on CBS Morning Show, and she is she the one that's Oprah's best friend, Gayle King? They're buddies, I think. Gayle King, she says that...
Yes, she is, sorry.
That's okay. Gayle King says that she is not going to allow any unvaxxed family members to her Thanksgiving dinner table this year.
Dr. Fauci, I don't know how many more times you can say to people, listen, it will save your life. I have this problem with some members of my own family, which I'm now going to ban for Thanksgiving vacation. That's how strongly I'm taking what you're saying.
This is just so silly. So she's not going to allow people to come to Thanksgiving if they're unvaccinated. Why do you care if you are vaccinated? If you're vaccinated, you're fine, Gail. And you believe in the vaccine so much, obviously you are. And I'm vaccinated. I don't ask people if they're vaccinated that I'm around, because whether they are or not, I supposedly am protected by the vaccine. And if I'm not, then they've been lying to all of us about the vaccine. But to say that you're going to deny family and loved ones from spending the holiday with you, maybe they're celebrating. Finally, we don't have to go to Aunt Gayle's this year.
But, I just added another Inslee cut for you, and that will go well with this one. So if you want to refresh and play that at the top there.
Really?
New Inslee has some thoughts about unvaccinated family members.
Oh, yeah, here's what Jay has to say about you if you have not gotten the vaccine.
Yeah, I want to follow up on what Lacey said. I think it's a really important point. You know, I've talked to folks say, well, this is an individual right. If I want to run the risk of dying on an intubator after being sick for a month. I went to a funeral the other day of a state employee who was in hospital for a month in his early 40s. If you want to run that risk, and people were saying, hey, that's my decision, I can run the risk. The problem with that is you're making a risk for everybody around you when you don't get vaccinated. You're a risk for your spouse, you're a risk for your kids, your grandkids, your parents, your coworkers.
Just nonsense. Not they're vaccinated and kids aren't at risk because kids don't get sick even if they get it. So the only people who are at risk are other people who are unvaccinated. And that's the choice they've made. This is unprecedented. The party that has for decades, my body, my choice, and said that anybody who infringes on somebody's rights over their own body is a Nazi. And now they say, no, you don't have control of your body. We do. You know, whether it's Joe Biden sending people door to door, Jay Inslee saying what a danger you are, what a biohazard you are if you choose to not get vaccinated. This is unprecedented how government and politicians want to control your bodies. It's amazing. All right, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
This 15 minutes will give you the word. Hey, we've got some huge news. Lynn Brewer has been a great friend of this radio show for a long, long time, and we've talked to her a lot over the last year because she is a citizen watchdog of what's been happening at Employment Security, where $650 million was stolen, wink, wink, by Nigerian scammers. Well, she tried to get some public records from them. They refused to turn them over. And a judge has just awarded Lynn a six-figure settlement from ESD. We will talk to Lynn about it next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, we have big news from our state's Employment Security Department, which ironically provided neither employment nor security in the last year and a half when the people of the state needed it most. In fact, $650 million was stolen from under the noses of the people in charge. And then when citizen watchdogs tried to find out what happened and why it happened, ESD Stonewalled and Stonewalled. And one of those people has been a very great friend of our radio show, Lynn Brewer. She joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Lynn, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thanks for having me, Dory.
So when we last talked, and I'm not sure if it was our most recent conversation, but you told me about the lawsuit that you had filed against Employment Security here in Washington because they were just stonewalling you on public records requests. What kind of records were you seeking?
So I did two public records requests. The first one was anything related to the fraud, so that I could get an understanding of what was going on, because $650 million is a lot of money to lose without sort of any protocols or anything in place to prevent that sort of loss.
Yeah.
The second, and that was in early June of 2000. And 3 days later, I requested all text messages between then ESD Commissioner Susie Levine and the governor.
And by the time you filed your lawsuit, which was several months later, you had not gotten any of those records you requested?
I got an incomplete record in August of text messages that was obvious that the commissioner had, based on the file and the sequential numbers of the text messages, they were just screenshots.
Okay,
That it was not a complete record. So, and still is not a complete record. There are references to text messages that she got from the governor, but there's no message from the governor.
So you made your records requests in early June, and the Public Records Act, in Washington, it's a strong one. It says that they have to respond within 5 days and then provide an estimated time frame for the release of documents. Did you get any response from them as to why they were so delayed and why they were not being responsive?
So initially, we tried to get them in tranches or buckets of documents just to get something moving. Then they refused to send those. And then through the discovery and the litigation, we found emails between the individual who was responsible for responding and his boss that said, I'm simply not going to turn them over. So that prompted an unreasonable delay. There were about there were tens of thousands of documents, what he told me, and in the email responding. So the information in the public records request related to the fraud, I got a response in 5 days. The text messages, they just blew that requirement out of the water and missed the deadline.
You never got text between Jay Inslee and Susie Levine?
No, I did not.
Never. See, because
never.
I would think if everything was on the up and up here, Lynn, there would be nothing to hide. And the fact that they still haven't responded, that they would rather take, I know that they settled with you for $100,000. The fact that they would rather take a $100,000 hit than respond in a timely manner to your request suggests to me, and tell me what you think, because you've been through this before as an Enron whistleblower, it suggests to me that they certainly had something to hide and to cover up.
Well, it would seem to me that to be that as well, Dory. I have no reason, no explanation, nothing. There are documents that continue to come in tranches, and so we'll just wait to see. But they consider that request related to text messages to be closed, and it is insufficient. There's no doubt.
So with the settlement, they have been able to close the text message request, which means you will never see text messages between Jay Inslee and Susie Levine?
No, the settlement really is two parts, and the statute is intended to be punitive in its financial penalties. But we also required that they make changes within the agency itself and how it deals with public records requests.
Yeah.
But that being said, we continue to get documents. We have not, the only thing we've done is cut off the clock as to the penalty associated with not producing the records. The records are still coming, and we will continue to seek those records. There just isn't any financial damages to the state for failing to do its job.
So they can continue to fail to do their job with no penalty.
Well, related to these two records requests, yeah. Yes, but that doesn't mean that there won't be a new situation arise if they fail to make changes as it relates to how they deal with public records. And I am about to do another public records request. I haven't quite formulated it at this point, but just recently the Employment Security Division sent out this rather onerous email to claimants that received payments that said, provide your name, your social security number, your date of birth, and every employer you worked for the last 18 months and the dates of employment. Well, that's everything that should be in
sure.
the ESD system. Like, why are you requesting information as it relates to individuals that are reported by employers, right? So an employer, your employer will report to ESD the basically the hours that you work, and they will pay into the system. So they know exactly who you work for. They also know your name. They also know your social security number.
Right.
And so they said, if you don't respond by the 28th of June, we're going to potentially make a claim that you have to repay everything. And so my husband got one of these letters. I did not. Although I have now been, thanks to ESD, a victim of the identity fraud, as I
yep.
believe you and your wife were as well.
Yes, we were.
So I intend to find out a little bit more about why this letter. I did respond, or my husband responded, and basically said, we're not responding to your request because either you have all this information or you've lost the entire data set.
Wow.
Which is...
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, I just got an email last night, Lynn, from a woman, and she said she wanted to talk to me about the failures of ESD, and she said that there was a bank account attached to her ESD account, and she went and looked at it, and it was not a bank account that she and her husband had, and so somebody apparently had gone in to her file, had attached a different bank account to her name and Social Security. And so if she received benefits, it would have been sent to this fraudulent or you know, somebody else's bank account. And she was very disturbed by this. And the fact that I'm still getting these emails several times a week suggests that there is still so much that is broken at this agency that's, you know, cost the taxpayers of this state, you know, going on $1 trillion. It's just, or $1 billion, I mean. It's just shocking to me. It's absolutely shocking.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the agency is broken, and I just don't understand. I mean, I simply cannot understand why they would start sending money out, and who are they going to go after to collect that money? This woman?
Right, right.
Even though she had nothing to do with it, it's tied to her social security number, and someone's getting access to these accounts, ESD accounts.
Exactly.
Right?
So let me ask you, because we only have about 30 seconds remaining. If the place is still broken, as you say, is it broken because of incompetence or is it broken because of criminal malfeasance? Do you have a guess on that?
I think that it's broken because of incompetence. And that incompetence then allows the criminal activity to occur. And really a lack of commitment by the agency and now the new commissioner, Ms. Feek, who is not sort of pulling back the covers on the entire organization to say,
right.
Why are we such a failure?
Unbelievable. Well, you've done so much. I know that Watchdog Group has given you an award for what you've been doing with ESDA, and I just couldn't admire it anymore. So Lynn Brewer, she just received a $100,000 settlement in her public records request after having been stonewalled for months and months and months by employment security. And I trust there will still be more to come, that this is not the end of the saga. Is that true?
No, that is true. And I think more importantly, yes, I did receive this award as the person taking on ESD. But the reality is, this is really an award that goes to the people of Washington State who raise the alarm bells and continue to do it. And, you know, getting to the bottom of it and continuing to hold them accountable is critical. And everyone needs to do so, because our democracy is at risk if we don't.
Amen. All right, Lynn, it's always great talking with you. I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thanks, Dory.
Lynn Brewer, she has just received a six-figure settlement from ESD because they stonewalled her attempt to be a great citizen watchdog. Love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Jenny Durkin, your Seattle mayor, has announced that she is going to ask the city council for $30 million that she has promised to communities of color in Seattle. Now, this was part of, and I thought it sounded like ransom, but it was part of the deal when Chaz Chop was abandoned and they got the East Precinct back from the domestic terrorists who took over parts of our city and took over a police station. And now Jenny Durkin has said she's going to spend $30 million on communities of color. The only question I have about this is, when do we start seeing, we taxpayers, a ROI, a return on investment? An example is, she gave the former pimp of child prostitutes, Andre Taylor, the street czar, he got $150,000 yearly contract to be our street czar. And Jenny Durkin said that he would help quell the violence on the streets in Seattle. And of course, ever since Andre Taylor was appointed street czar, what's happened? We have record murder pace. Last year was a 30-year high in Seattle. This year, we're on a pace to exceed last year. So what are we getting for the $150 million? Or I'm sorry, $150,000 a year for Andre Taylor. But now she wants to spend $30 million on, they'll go to communities of color. And I would just love to know what the demand is for a return on investment with that. And this is her last term as mayor. Jenny Durkin is not going to run. And there's a boatload of people who want to be the next mayor of Seattle. And one who's gotten a lot of attention is a guy named Lance Randall. He was on Fox News last week. He's been making kind of the talk radio rounds. I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing much with mayoral candidates because so much of my audience is outside of the city. But we just found out that he was charged in March of 1999 in Georgia with cruelty to a child after striking his 11-year-old son with a paddle, causing deep and painful bruising, according to court records. Yeah, I disagree with spanking, but I understand if somebody gives a kid a swat at a moment where they want to associate something super dangerous with a little sting. But hitting a kid with a paddle, I will never understand that. I don't know how a loving parent, I would feel so awful if I ever did something like that about myself. And he will not be my mayoral choice. Okay, we're going to check the news here, and then our big lead at 2 is coming up next.